It is good to be home, back with all of you, after Debbie and I had the chance to spend last weekend with Courtney in New York City. And we worshiped last Sunday in Brick Presbyterian Church on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And you think, well, that's an odd name for a church, Brick Presbyterian Church. But I'll tell you the reason that they name it Brick is because it was founded in 1727. And it was the first of the Presbyterian, it was actually the second Presbyterian church, but the other one was built out of wood. They were built out of brick because they had more money and they could bring the clay up from Virginia or Georgia, wherever they got the clay from. So it was an interesting experience to be in that congregation, a beautiful sanctuary, similar to ours in design, just a lot bigger. And very formal worship service, and just good to be home for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, they had a professional choir there that you could tell that they were all trained professionals, and they're all probably paid to sit in the choir. And while technically they might have been a better choir than you all are, technically, but I wouldn't trade all of you for all of them, for all the tea in China, because our choir sings from here, and you can tell that. And so, just my way of saying thank you, glad to be back among you. Also, there wasn't a lot of fun in that church. I mean, it was an impeccable worship service. Impeccable. Not a wasted second, not a wasted word. Everything was scripted out and everything was done with almost military precision. Beautiful worship service. Beautiful. But nobody laughed. How can you worship God without laughing? Isn't God the creator of joy? Isn't God love by definition? And doesn't love by its very nature bring a smile to one's face? And so I'm glad to be back with all of you. You laugh at Darren and me, and I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, with. You laugh with us. That's right. I meant to say with. Darren somehow got out of this, been doing a series of sermons trying to answer some of the questions that people pose to the church. And I've heard all of these questions myself, so I can honestly say these are questions that I have heard over time during my ministry. And they're challenging questions. And today's question is one that challenges who God is and who we are. I've heard this question worded in several different ways, but in essence, the question that has been posed to me is, did God create evil? Now, when the question has been posed to me, it's been posed by in the times that I can think of, by people who were angry with God, didn't like how things were going, didn't like how things were in the world, didn't like something that happened to them, and they then blamed God, and their belief was that God created evil and brought bad things into this world, made bad things in this world, created bad stuff for this world. And therefore, if anything bad happens, it's because of what God has created, what God has brought into this world. And so when I have heard this question asked of me, it has generally been a question that was asked out of a spirit of hurt or a spirit of anger and a spirit of questioning who God is, questioning whether God is indeed a God of love or whether God has in essence, an evil side to him. And so it's a question that I've heard on several different occasions and trying to give account for my faith, give account for the faith of the church, have sought to give answer to that. But I need to say that it's not a new question. The question of where did evil come from? Did God create evil? It's a question that is so old that the answer can be found in the first pages of Scripture. Now, my temptation was to read for you the entire story, in the first three chapters of Genesis, but I'm going to just read a portion of that for you. From the third chapter of Genesis, the first 13 verses, we hear this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Now, did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. There are a lot of misperceptions about what evil is. One of the misperceptions about what evil is that it is often perceived as something that is quite black and white, that there is evil and there is good. And we get this perception that there is nothing in between. Something is either good or it is evil. And we get this misperception that evil is something that is wholly other than us, that is something different from us. But this story, this passage reminds us that evil is not something that is in and of itself. It is not something that God created. Evil is bad choices. Evil is choosing wrong over right, choosing selfishness over selflessness, choosing lovelessness over against love. Now, I may get this wrong, and our resident physicist may correct me after the worship service this morning. But as I understand it, one of the laws of physics is that there is no such thing as cold. There is no such thing as cold. There's only the absence of heat. So when you go outside on one of these chilly days that are before us in January and you say you're cold, you're wrong. All you are is missing the heat. And that it is a continuum between that which is absolutely hot and that which is absolutely absent of any heat. Because there is such a thing as absolute zero when you can measure things. I have no idea how in the world they measure absolute zero, but at absolute zero there is absolutely no heat, no warmth, no nothing whatsoever. So it is not that there is cold, but it is the absence of heat that is what we measure. So we do not get cold, we just are not warm. Simple as that. But it is a good way for us to think about what evil is, because God did not create evil. Evil is the result. Evil is the result of choosing against love. For love is the measure of all that is good. Love is the measure of what is right. And the absence of love is a measure of what is wrong. And so we have this continuum between absolute good and absolute evil. Absolute evil being the total absolute absence of love. And so we live our lives somewhere on this continuum, because there is only one person who is absolutely good, is there not? And his name was Jesus Christ, who lived his life selflessly, giving himself in every way, even taking upon himself human form and being obedient to God, even unto death upon the cross, is the way that the Apostle Paul reminds us of that selfless life that Jesus lives. And so we have on this end that model of absolute love in the living of his life. But the rest of us are on this continuum over here, are we not? Like Adam and Eve with the decisions that they had to make, and they made the wrong decision. They chose selfishness. Adam and Eve were tempted because they saw this fruit on that tree, and you know, I love how it's recorded there in Genesis. It was appealing to the eye. We know what that means, don't we? You see something and you really want it. It looks so good that you can't resist it. I for sure thought that's why Darren went down to do the children's talk, because I thought he was going to come back with that donut in his hand. Because that donut, when I saw it at the 9 o'clock service, was very appealing to my eye. And that's what Adam and Eve faced. They saw that fruit on the tree, and it was very appealing to them, and it looked so good, and it looked so tasty, and it looked like something that they had to have. And the serpent, all he did was kind of give them the excuse, give them the means to make a bad decision. But most of us don't need any serpent to give us the means to make a bad decision. But Adam and Eve were there, and they saw it, and it looked so good. It was very appealing to the eye. It was something that they wanted to have, and they made a choice. They could choose selflessness. They could choose to, on the one hand, serve the Lord their God, to follow His will, to do His wishes, to obey His command to them. Or they could choose to do what would bring them a little pleasure. You know, nice crisp apple on a summer afternoon. You know, who could resist that? And so they chose the selfish choice. Rather than the selfless choice, they chose the selfish choice. And everything began to unravel with that. In a very real sense, they were the ones who slid that continuum from good to evil. And you and I have been sliding on that continuum from then until now, making the choices in our lives between doing that which is loving and selfless And that which is selfish and self-centered, choices between doing what is good and what is evil. We live in that continuum. We live in that realm, in that place between good and evil. And it is a battle which has always been going on. It's a battle that is more easily recognized in others than it is in ourselves, is it not? We pick up the newspaper or we turn on the TV and we go, oh, such evil in this world. But we have a hard time seeing it in our own lives when we make choices that are hurtful to others or hurtful to ourselves. Evil touches each of our lives at some point in that continuum. It is a battle which ultimately will be won, but won only by God. For as I said earlier, there's only one who has lived a perfect, selfless, loving life, and that was Jesus Christ. And the message of the cross is simply this, that on that Good Friday, so many, many years ago, absolute love came face to face with absolute evil. Christ in his selfless love, the most innocent of innocents, took the penalty upon himself that belonged to all of us. And he faced that evil head on. At that moment on that Good Friday, when absolute love faced absolute evil, it looked as if absolute evil had won. But that cross is empty, because we have Easter Sunday, when Jesus' resurrection from the grave proclaimed to all of us that ultimately God's goodness, God's love will prevail. You and I live in the shadow of the cross, seeking to turn our hearts and our minds in the direction towards Jesus Christ, to see in his life, to see in his words, to see in the manner of his living what it means to live a life guided by love. We live our lives in that shadow, seeking to turn ourselves in that direction. Or as the Apostle Paul wrote, that we are to keep our eyes focused upon all those things that are good and beautiful, so that we might make the decisions that lead us maybe not to a perfect life, maybe not to a absolutely loving life, but maybe to a life that reflects God's love a little more every day. That on this grand continuum, as we make the decisions of our lives, we might bring more good into this world because we have sought to follow the person and work of Jesus Christ. Did God create evil? Most certainly not. Evil is a part of that free will that God gives to us to make decisions. We don't need to be like Adam and Eve. I mean, I just love that part where they're looking at themselves, looking at what they had done, and what did they do? Adam says, "Don't look at me, God. It was that woman that you gave me." And Eve says, "Don't look at me, God. If you hadn't created that serpent, this whole matter would never have happened." We don't need to be like that, blaming others when we need to look more closely at ourselves, to examine our lives, and to see whether or not we choose to live our lives in the light of God's love or in the darkness of bad choices. Would you pray with me? O God of love, your Son Jesus Christ has shown us the more excellent way, a life lived absolutely in love, selfless giving every step along the way. O Heavenly Father, we recognize that we are not perfect. We're not even close. But yet, O Lord, we seek to be people who live in the light of the cross, following your Son, Jesus Christ, living in the way that he has taught us to live, a way of love, a way of generosity, a way of mercy. Guide us, O Lord, and help us to walk in love and to avoid that which creates evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.